At one time, not too long ago, there was a large painting of the crucifixion on display in the window of a store in a large city. An apparently well-to-do middle-aged man was standing looking at the picture, and he was listening to a lad next to him who was enthusiastically, yet very reverently, pointing out the awesome details of the story of the cross. "Where did you learn all about that?" asked the man of the lad. "Why, in the Mission Sunday School," the boy replied. Well, the man favorably shook his head and commented on the worthwhile missionary effort that would produce such knowledge for children. He proceeded his own way down the street. But not having gone very far, he heard running footsteps on the sidewalk behind him and the voice of a lad shouting, "Mister! Mister!" And a hand suddenly gripped the sleeve of his coat, and as he turned around, here was the young fellow who had been telling him the story of Calvary. And he was excitedly saying to the man, "I forgot to tell you, mister, he rose from the dead. He's alive." Yes, my dear listening friend, he is alive. The one who at Calvary died and laid down his life is no longer dead. He is not in the tomb. He is alive forevermore. I want to talk to you today about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the one who himself said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again," is the one who on the third day, according to the Scriptures, took up his life again in resurrection. He was raised from the dead. You'll recall how on that morning of the resurrection the women went to the sepulchre, and there they see an angel who say to him, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The tomb is empty." And I would like today seek to turn your attention to the empty tomb and also to the glorified, risen Savior who lives to save and to keep, one who knows all about you and one who wants to be known by you. In the first chapter, or first epistle rather, of Corinthians in the 15th chapter, we have what is called the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And here we see the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For instance, Paul says, "If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." The resurrection of Christ is the keystone of the truth of Christianity. The foundation is the work of the cross. The keystone is the resurrection. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain," he says, "and ye are yet in your sins." There would be no virtue to the work of Calvary unless the Son of God had been raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important that your salvation hinges upon it. And as Paul goes on to say and writes to these Corinthians and to us also, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Scripture states it. The Spirit of God writes it through the inspired writings of the Bible. And there are also many infallible proofs that have been given. Luke, writing in the Acts, speaks of the many infallible proofs that Jesus showed of his resurrection during the 40 days in which he lived here on earth before he ascended to heaven. Some of those infallible proofs are mentioned in the 15th of 1 Corinthians. We read that he was seen of Cephas, that is, of Peter. John tells us that he was seen of Mary Magdalene. The Gospels record this also as the one to whom he first appeared. And then he was seen of the 12. They were gathered together, you recall, in that room when he came within, the doors being shut for fear of the Jews. And here he appeared to them, and they were afraid, thinking that they had seen a spirit. But he said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And he revealed himself to them. He let them see the wounds in his hands and his feet. Then he was seen, we read, of above 500 brethren at once in Galilee. Think of it. And when Paul wrote, at this time, about A.D. 60, he said, "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a proven fact. It has been accomplished. It has been attested to. It cannot be denied. And it stands on record today that the Lord Jesus, who died at Calvary, was raised, bodily raised from the dead, the third day according to the Scriptures. So the infallible proofs have been rendered and testimonied to this wondrous fact remains today. He is alive, and from the glory he speaks his word and desires to enter into your heart. Now the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the integral part of the preaching of the apostles, as we read throughout the book of Acts. In the second chapter of Acts, we hear Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, that sermon after which 3,000 souls were converted to God. And the resurrection of Christ formed the integral part of that message. The one who was crucified, he says, God raised from the dead. In the 10th chapter of Acts, when he preaches to Cornelius, to the Gentiles in his house, the resurrection of Christ was an integral part of his preaching then. But now is Christ risen from the dead. It's the part of the gospel, one of the three main facts of the gospel message, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures. You recall that after that message, Cornelius believed, and many in that house believed. Yes, it is God's power in presenting the gospel message, the death and resurrection of Christ, telling of a finished work, is that which delivers souls when believed. Also, the resurrection of Christ is the seal that the work that put away sin has been done. In the Epistle to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul speaks of the Lord Jesus in the steps that he took downward in his humiliation, and becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But he goes on to say, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." God was glorified by the work of his Son at Calvary. And that work which he did finished the putting away of sin. It accomplished redemption. And it accomplished it to the entire satisfaction of a holy God. God is so pleased with what he has done, what his Son has accomplished, that he raised him from the dead, and he has given him his seat at his own right hand in the glory. And there he has exalted him, a name above every name. What is that name? That at the name of Jesus. Do you know this Blessed One? Who is he? He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the man, Christ Jesus, of the New. Jesus the Savior, Jehovah the Savior. He bears that name today, exalted above every name, so that every knee should bow to him of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I wonder if my listener has done this. Have you realized that the one who died for you at Calvary is alive? That he has died for you? Have you accepted this? Do you own him as your Savior? He died that you might know him as the Redeemer from your sins. He was delivered for your offenses, for your sins. And Paul continues, but he was raised for your justification. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is what has put away sin. It has paid the debt of our sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the receipt that death has accomplished it. The debt is paid. He lives in the power of an endless life, and he is the living receipt to the accomplishment of the work of atonement. Now, beloved friend, this Lord Jesus Christ, then, ever lives. He is in the glory, and he is there, abiding knowingly all about you. He desires your blessing. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is furthermore the certainty of the resurrection and the glorification of the believer in him. When Christ was here in John 14, he says, because I live, ye shall live also. The one who was here on earth and trod this scene, who manifested his glory, who he was by what he did and said, and finished the work of salvation at Calvary, and that's where it was finished. It wasn't in his life that sin was put away. No, it was on the cross that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. But having done that, God having accepted him and his work has raised him to the glory, and now, because he lives, it is a certainty that we who trust in him shall live also. Because when you trust in him, what do you receive? In the language of Scripture, we receive everlasting life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And I want you to notice also in the book of Romans, chapter 8, what we read in regards to the certainty of the believer's resurrection and glorification. He says, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised by his own power. He was raised by the glory of the Father, according to chapter 6 in Romans, and also he was raised by the power of the Spirit of God. And you notice it says here that if this Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and how may that Spirit dwell in you? Well, you know, dear listener, that the Spirit of God comes to indwell you the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior. In Ephesians 1 we read, in whom having trusted, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you open your heart to Christ, the Spirit of God seals you, marks you out as belonging to him, and indwells you. And that is your link with a glorified Christ in heaven. He is the head of the body, the head of the church. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you will become a member of the body of Christ. And the Spirit of God baptizes you into this one body and links you with your head in heaven. Now, if that is so, if this is true of you, and if you have honestly, really in your heart, accepted in all simplicity the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you and is the pledge that you too will be raised. Should you die? Should you fall asleep, your body be put to rest? You yourself will consciously go to be with Christ in the glory. But the day is coming in the resurrection, at the coming of Christ, when the first resurrection shall take place, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, your body will be raised, and you will be changed and formed into a body such as he has. This is the hope that we look forward to. And this is a sure result for the believer based on the work of Christ and his resurrection from among the dead. Oh, how much hinges upon it. But now, if this is so, as it is, for the believer, I would just in closing desire to warn you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is also the pledge and the assurance of the judgment of the sinner. In Acts chapter 17, we read, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Think of it. The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from among the dead not only assures the salvation of the believer, but it also pledges the judgment of the unbeliever. You cannot be neutral about this matter, dear friend. Christ must be faced as one whom you either accept or reject. After Paul preached this message there at Athens, we read, when they heard of the resurrection, some mocked. How solemn. I trust that there is not a listener in my audience today who will mock at the truth of God. Then we read, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Oh, how many there are who are putting off the settling of the matter of their soul's salvation. We urge that you do not do this. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You may not have another opportunity. Death is so real. Life is so uncertain. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, and the door of heaven will one day close for you. Oh, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, and be as those of whom we read here. Some and certain men, however, believed. Oh, God grant that today you might be amongst those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again, and believing in him will assure you everlasting life. Do you wish to be saved? Listen to Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.